of thy womb, Jesus. May we imitate the constancy in the faith of Saint Venantius, he whose merit we venerate. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Today is the feast day of Saint Venantius the Martyr, and after Mass during benediction, we commence the solemn novena to the Holy Ghost for Pentecost, which has as its intention the conversion especially of heretics and of schismatics. Today, amongst the many saints whom we honor, come in first place two martyrs towards the end now of Paschal tide who shed their blood for Christ. For Saint Venantius, a remarkable saint, 15 years old, he suffered anything any martyr ever suffered, including the effort of an older apostate Christian to make him question and walk away from his faith. He suffered and he resisted, and his long tale of martyrdom is a kind of a tissue of miracles. Angels appeared and there were miraculous thunder and lightning and conversions were made, and Almighty God was so glorified. More than once our Saint 15 was pushed off a high rock, and he was delivered from any kind of an injury, and as it were, just sort of bounced back again, which is a good example for us when, through the malice of others, or our Lord's design that we should suffer something, or through our own falls into sin, we do fall, we have to just bounce back again. All the while, imitating that constancy in the faith that especially makes this teenage martyr stand out as glorious on the day of his martyrdom. But I thought I would tell you about another martyr today, also known for the constancy of his faith, because today is doubly the day of his martyrdom. That is to say, Saint Eric of Sweden, who died on the 18th of May in the year 1151. He was a contemporary then of Saint Bernard of Clairvaux, or Clairvaux, Saint Eubaldus, whose feast we had just the other day. He died on the day after the Ascension, that is to say, today, while he was assisting at Mass. He is honored as the Apostle of Finland, and he was a king, a secular king, and the commander of an army. We had, you know, a young visitor at Christmas time who was a Finnish student, convert from Lutheranism to the Novus Ordo. He was very interested in studying and writing a book about the traditional movement. Thanks be to God, as a result of his visit to St. Gertrude the Great Church, he became a true Catholic and left the Novus Ordo, and now has requested to join our seminary. And I thought to myself, I bet something is happening with him, because you recall we had the 40 hours devotion during that time at Epiphany. And I noticed that he walked in the procession carrying a candle to honor the Blessed Sacrament. And I thought, that is bound to be for him the source of many graces. Well, so it was. How were his people converted? They were one of the last in all of Europe to give up paganism, the Finns. Their story is the story of the King of Sweden. He was a very virtuous young nobleman, well practiced in self-discipline and very learned, got married to the daughter of one of the kings of Sweden. When the current king of Sweden died, the custom was that the nobility and the clergy and the landowners would elect the king. He was elected simply because of his great virtue, and he did not disappoint his electors. In every respect, he was a model Christian king. He established laws to promote the conversion of the remaining pagans in his country to Christianity. He restrained any kind of pagan vice by wise laws. He built many churches. And then, remarkable for a king or a ruler then or now, he took no taxes from his people. He was the model of justice. He said, I have enough money on my patrimony, that is to say, his inheritance and his income. I have no need for any money. Therefore, I'm not going to collect any money from the people. What an unheard of miracle. He's a saint whom we ought to honor and pray to, just perhaps on that account alone. His great concern during his 10-year reign, 1151 to 1161, was the security of his own country, because the Finns, who were still pagans and barbarians, were invading his country. Finally, he got up a great army to repel them. There was a major battle, and the Christians, led by the banner with the cross, held by the noble king, that banner for centuries was honored and always carried into war by the Swedes, so the red cross on a white field, their flag still today, I believe. The battle was won, the war was won, and yet at the end of it, what a curious scene. There is the king, Eric, surveying the battlefield. Hundreds of corpses of dead Finnish soldiers. And the king is weeping bitterly. And why is he weeping? Because he says, all of these men died without holy baptism, which means, of course, that they were damned to hell. And he resolved then and there that he would convert this last pagan country in Europe, Finland, to the Catholic faith. So he turned to the chaplain who accompanied him, who was a wonderful monk missionary from England, Henry, Archbishop of Uppsala. And he asked him, the primate of Sweden, to stay in Finland and to convert the people. And this zealous monk generously agreed to do that. And that is how the country of Finland finally, last of all, came into the Catholic faith. Now, if there's one thing people can't stand, it's someone who's too religious or too Catholic. And that was certainly the case with Saint Eric. And so there were a few malcontents in his own country of Sweden, and then there was a neighboring prince of Denmark by the name of Magnus who wanted to take over Sweden. So they made an alliance together for a revolution. And how our saint died is a most affecting tale. He was at Mass every day. So it was on this, the day after the Ascension, he was kneeling at Mass, and they bring him word that the rebels were coming after him, with Prince Magnus at their head. Well, he says, let us at least finish the sacrifice of the Mass. And then, as for the rest of the festival, meaning the 8 days of Ascension tide, we will celebrate the end of it someplace else, meaning in eternity. And so when the Holy Mass is completed, he makes the sign of the cross, he gets up, and he goes in front of his soldier. Such a brave man, he didn't want anyone else to have to die. And so he's at the head of the column. The rebels see him coming, they drag him down from his horse, treat him in a horribly disrespectful manner, and chop off his head. His symbol, the symbol of this wonderful saint, is a fountain of blood coming out of his own blood, sort of a sign of his willingness to die for his country and his faith. But two different saints, martyrs, a young man of ancient Italy, 15, and a noble king who was responsible for converting the last pagan country in Europe. During the age of saints, the 12th century, the most glorious of centuries, a wonderful king martyr like King Eric. Let us ask these two saints to pray for us to imitate their constancy in the faith. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.